Hello and welcome to Qi Talks with the National Qigong Association. Today is October 12, 2017, and I'm your host, Vicki Della Gioia, and I am so delighted that you've joined us for today's exploration of all the different ways in which we can explore Qigong, Qi practice, and today the Earth's gifts of stones and crystals and those combined with Qi practice, which I think is just a fascinating and exciting topic. In a few moments, I'm going to have the pleasure of introducing this evening's guest, Eve Soldinger. Soldinger?
But
sorry,
it depends on which Soldinger you talk to.
Yeah, I see. Eve's an acupuncturist and Qigong teacher healer who teaches Qigong workshops throughout the United States, and including at addiction and cancer treatment centers, and who's been integrating the use of gemstones and crystals in Qigong treatments and her practice. So I'm going to be introducing her in just a moment. But before I do, I want to give you just a little bit of information about what to expect during our hour together and how you can participate, particularly for those of you who are new to Qi Talks. And I see that there are several names here that I don't recognize that are coming in, so I'm excited to see you here. So welcome if you're new, and welcome back if you have been a regular. So Qi Talks is a monthly program, and it airs every second Thursday of the month. It's sponsored by the National Qigong Association, which is a member organization which provides information, resources, networking, and community building for people interested in Qigong. That includes practitioners, Qigong healers, professional teachers, and the general public who either practice Qigong or are curious to learn more about it. The National Qigong Association sponsors national, regional, and local conferences and retreats. We do these Qi Talks. We have all kinds of different activities to help people hear about what Qigong is. And Qi Talks, this call that you're on right now, is an audio program of virtual classes that's free to you and the general public as part of our goal as an organization to use public education and scientific research to educate people about Qigong. The program is part interview and part audience participation, so please plan to stay on for the whole call so that you can contribute when we open for our Q&A in a little while. And I also have, as always, a bonus for listeners, both from Eve and from the NQA, ways in which you can dive in a little deeper with this information. Your line, as you probably noticed, is when you logged in, is currently muted to keep out extraneous noise, to keep the line fairly pure. But we still want to hear from you during this call. So in fact, your questions and your experiences, your personal observations, your comments, anything that you want to contribute, I'd love you to go ahead and participate during the Q&A and help us build as a community. For me, at least, and I think for those people who are guests, your voices are really an important aspect of what makes Qi Talks rock. So here are the guidelines of how you can participate in the hour. First of all, if while we're talking, as soon as you have a question or a comment, let us know by pressing *6 on your phone. When you do that, I see your name pop up, and I'll be able to unmute you when we get to the Q&A part of the discussion. So you can press *6 at any point during our talk, and then it'll be added to a queue of first come, first serve, so that way I'll know that you want to say something. If you're somebody who doesn't particularly want to talk, then you can send an email to Qi Talks, and that's qitalks@nqa.org, and I'll be checking email so that I can ask your question for you. If you prefer not to have your name acknowledged, do mention that in the email, otherwise I will be saying who it is that's asking the question. And finally, for any of you who are Facebookers, you can connect with us there. You can post comments there on our page, national.qigong.association. That's the facebook.com/national.qigong. And Qigong is Qigong. There's several spellings, but that's how we're spelling it here. So go ahead and log into Facebook if you're somebody who likes to use Facebook. And Kimberly Ivey, who's the founder of Embrace the Moon School in Seattle, is going to be monitoring your comments, and we'll be looking for your posts as we go along as well. So whatever way you choose, I do hope that you plan to jump in at some point if you have something to say, because any and all of your questions and thoughts are welcome. And it's also, I think, a really awesome way to be able to connect with Eve, with our guest. So I'd like to introduce her now. Eve Soldinger has been an acupuncturist since 1985. Her love for Chinese medicine and all healing forms has taken her on learning adventures throughout Europe, Central and South America, and China. And she began studying Qigong in 2006 and found it to be the most transformational practice that she had explored. In 2012, she earned a master's degree in medical Qigong from the International College of Medical Qigong, and she teaches workshops throughout the United States, including Alaska, and she takes her work to a lot of different settings, including, as I said before, addiction and cancer treatment centers. In the past year, particularly, she's been integrating the use of gemstones and crystals in Qigong treatments, as well as using crystals during her Qigong classes. So welcome, Eve. It's a delight to host you this evening to talk about the power of stones and crystals in Qigong practice and treatment. I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm really excited to explore the topic and to talk with you.
Yes, and it just sounds to me like you're integrating a lot of different really interesting things. So I thought to start with, maybe you could tell us a little bit about your journey with Qigong. I noticed in your bio you called it one of the most transformational practices that you found, and so I'd love to hear about a little bit about your entry into Qigong and what is it that made it stand out as transformational for you.
Well, I am... you know, have been immersed in Chinese medicine for all these years. And it's very easy when you're a practitioner, a clinician, to just get in the rut of continuing to do what you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I have always sort of tried to have alarms go off when that happens, where I'm sort of just continuing to do just what I know. And I would be looking for classes to take that I could get continuing education credits for. And I started taking Qigong classes probably in 2003, 2004, you know, that time period. Because I was more interested in that way of empowering people and myself to have qi move and build qi and nourish qi and to understand it from a very physical and energetic point of view in what we can do and what we can offer clients.
Yeah, and it seems like it was probably really complimentary to, because you've been an acupuncturist since the 80s, right?
So that's right.
So, yeah, so it must have been, you know, a way to kind of synergize both of them.
Right, and also it is really common for people to, you know, spend the first 10 years getting some mastery over whatever they've been taught. And then from that point, it's like, what else is Chinese medicine? What else am I doing? Actually, the truth is that when I started studying with a Mayan elder in the 90s is when I really started to understand acupuncture, because he embodied such an understanding of nature and all the connection between all things.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like he taught me to be a Mayan, you know, he was very clear he couldn't do that. But he was teaching me the window through which he looked. And in that window, I started to embrace a kind of understanding that nature was really to be my guide, even though I didn't know mm-hmm. how to step into that room quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a long time, though. In nature's time, it's a blink of an eye. It's not
right.
that long. But
right.
It takes a long time.
Well, was this work that you did with this Mayan elder, was that your first exposure to gemstones or crystals, or had you already been doing
actually
some work?
I might have seen a few gemstones and crystals in my house growing up, but only, you know, a few. But that was my first exposure, and actually the traditions that he held, like some of the traditions that he was a master of, was, you know, of an oracle tradition, and he would unwrap his sacred bundle and there'd be a few crystals in there, and I would respectfully look at him looking at a crystal and mm-hmm. have him say something after getting information. And I think, well, that's very different and cool and amazing. And what an amazing human being that looks at this smoky quartz and suddenly has something to say. So, you know, it was a very distant kind of admiration. Like, okay, I caught that he did that. But, yes. You know, that's not a Western reality. However, there are Western foundations that actually do have that. Hildegard of Bingham wrote this book, Materia Medica, of, you know, her understanding of crystals. And, you know, mostly it was to keep away the devil, but it still was about protection and about safety and about health as well.
So you were exposed to, you began to study with this person in the 90s, you said, right?
Yes, but I wasn't being taught about crystals. I observed him.
Yes, but you got exposed to there's something here that you didn't quite get, but that it had power and it had information that you were curious about. And then in 2003-04, somewhere in there, you were introduced to Qigong. When did you first get interested in bringing these two energy systems together, or how they work in relationship to one another?
I was trying to remember the exact date today. I'm pretty good at that, but not always. In 2007, my dear brother, who has since passed, was diagnosed with stage 3 lung cancer. And I was going from Arizona to be with him, like the 5th or 6th day after getting chemotherapy, to be with him during the hard period of those cycles, so that I could treat him. And I would treat him using acupuncture a few times a day, very light treatments. And I knew every issue he had. We were a very good brother-sister relationship. I was thinking what I'd say about him tonight if I explained this. And what I could say is I made fun of him eating meatball subs, and he made fun of all the different colored peppers, green peppers, red peppers, yellow peppers in my salad. You know, we were very, very different in our health consciousness and our spiritual relationship to the universe, but we loved each other, so it was great, and I would go and I would try to do this. And then I took a two-day class. I was already doing energy work, and I took a two-day class with Jerry Allen Johnson on Qigong and crystal healing. And I came, you know, with my usual time during these chemo treatments. And I came, you know, the 5th or 6th day after his infusion. And I was doing this Qigong treatment that I was just learning with some quartz and some jet and some tourmaline and just a few things. I mean, I may have had 10 gemstones. And all of a sudden, this guy who I'd known all my life went to this expanded spiritual reality to the point that he didn't want an acupuncture treatment anymore. He wanted me to give him Qigong treatments all day long. Even, you know, after I had sort of closed the door to the extra bedroom and, you know, was going to go to sleep, he'd say, "Don't you want to do another one of those, whatever they're called, treatments?" And I'd say, "Well, you know,
what was it? So he was getting you said expanded spiritual experience, and also maybe having a different level of peace or something in his body, or what would you say was happening for him?
I would say the healing space that we all seek to create for everyone who comes to us as clinicians, that healing, quiet, expanded spiritual reality was created through the use of these crystals, which I wouldn't have guessed that in 1,000 years, which made me go, I have to explore this.
Yeah, there's really something here. There's something
this
here.
Is amazing. If this can really affect this this person in my life who I know really well and would not expect this. And so that became the modality that I used with him. And for a
now,
couple
now
years.
When was that, Eve?
That had to be the end of 2007, 2008. He died in 2009.
Uh-huh.
So I know that was when it was. And uh-huh. He did really, really well for what he had for a very long time. And I don't want to go too much into that, but I think it was really the Qigong. And this,
yes.
Never mind changing his diet and doing all these other things. It was sort of this space that he would be in sort of all day long. It was very remarkable.
Was he speaking to you from that space? Was he telling you what was going on, or did you just observe it?
He would speak to me from the space and say, well, mostly he would go into a state of calm that he didn't normally experience, and I would let him be there. I mean, he'd be on the lounge in the living room, and I'd let him sort of stay, and then when he came out of it, I'd say, so what happened? And he said, I don't know, but I feel great. Well, you want to go out to dinner? You know, and I'd say, okay, let's go out to dinner. You know, let's call, you know, the rest of the family to come. I mean, it wasn't like, it was phenomenal that that he not only sort of did some internal work that maybe he could name and maybe he couldn't name, but he embraced a kind of joy. He was a very joyful person, but he embraced, you know, every moment that he had from those points, even though it was during the time periods that he should be not feeling so well.
Well, that must have been incredibly exciting for you as somebody who really loved him as sister. You used this with him during his dying days, or his final period of time while he was
he was getting a lot of treatment. I did, yeah.
While he was getting a lot of treatment, yeah. And then you started to use it in your Qigong classes. Is that how it happened, or you started to use it in your acupuncture sessions and with other people, or from your brother?
I used it in my acupuncture sessions, and I used it a great deal for a couple of years, and then I sort of let it go by the wayside. And about a year ago. And I would have all these books on crystals, and I would look at them sometimes when I had time and think, oh, this is interesting, and I should think about this. And, you know, it wasn't something that was the only thing. I was spending a lot of time learning Qigong and doing Qigong and going through the Qigong program from 2009 to 2012. So, I would sort of look at crystals sometimes and use them on some people, but it sort of went sort of to the back burner for a while. And then about a year ago, I got the message, go home and meditate with this blue kyanite. And I did. And then I finished meditating and I ordered more gemstones and more gemstones.
What happened in that meditation that inspired you to take it another step?
It was a very interesting experience. First of all, whenever I get a direction from a spirit and says, go do this, I don't say, oh, but I'm too tired or, you know, it's not really a convenient moment. Right. I drop everything no matter what I'm doing, and I say, well, I don't get that many messages like that. So I went home and I knew exactly what it was, and I meditated, and it was like the circle around me. If I was Saturn, it was like this ring came around me that was sort of containing energies that I didn't have before. And so, you know, I started ordering crystals that I didn't even recognize. And, you know, and then I'd look them up and then I'd forget what they were. And then somebody comes in and I'm like, oh, this is for them. Uh-huh. Oh, this is for them.
So it sounds that a lot of how you use the crystals is very intuitive, that you really have an internal sense. And that sort of guides you or leads you to what stones for what person, what client.
Yes, I mean I've studied with people like Jeffrey Ewan when he gives talks about crystals, and I've studied, you know, some books like Leslie Franks is one of his students, and you know, but it's not like that information stays on the forefront. You know, someone comes
right.
in, someone came in yesterday. I promised her I would talk about her. who had a concussion 2 years ago, a major concussion, and she's in her 20s and she's doing pretty well. And then she had a situation where she didn't have her space clear, and she sort of re-injured or re-experienced the concussion, you know, recently. And she was having like what I would describe as a outpouring of her hun, outpouring of the energy that has to do with your soul connecting or leaving and traveling, and she wasn't sleeping, and she was sort of having reported having a dramatic meltdown. She called it a meltdown, and it sounds like it was a meltdown. And so I was looking at her wood element of her liver and her gallbladder, and I was using a few crystals, a few gemstones, and then I suddenly got, I have to give her tiger's eye. And I hardly use it, you know, and I went and got it and started to, you know, and I didn't put it on a point or a chakra. I gave it to her in her hand. I said, take this. And she started playing with it and playing with it. And all of a sudden her shen came back and she started to get grounded and she became settled. And it was a surprise to me. I didn't know it could do that. I've read here and there about that gemstone, and I thought I knew a little bit about it. And there she was showing me what it was about for her in this situation.
Yes. Yes.
And that's how I really approach it. I had used hematite, which is one of the Tiger's Eye has hematite in it, so it has things that root. You know, but I didn't really know that it would have that effect. I didn't know.
That's what I'm kind of getting, is that you have this, you know, this body of research and depth of knowledge about, you know, these stones, and then some of that information comes and goes, but there's a part of it that is intuitive. And do you use this also when you're teaching classes?
I do.
How do you use your crystals in your Qigong classes?
Well, it's different for each group. I mean, this week I had an advanced class, and I had been working with these three or four people about how the energy was flowing up the governor vessel and down the governor vessel in the back, and you know how they were holding their wuji posture and how the energy was flowing great in the front and not in the back. And I just sort of realized that it was something common among the people. And so I used a wand to sort of open up the governor vessel for everyone while they were in wuji, while they were in standing pose. And it worked. That was a great thing. It worked. And, you know, so I do different things. Sometimes we build like little pyramids with like a rose quartz so that they create a sacred space around them. And sometimes, like today, I used black tourmaline to sort of ward off the negativity that's unfortunately, a part of our everyday experience. You know, I live in Washington, D.C. So, and also to sort of bring in some of the energy that's coming for the winter, for the dive inward into our depth, which is November 7th. So, help with the, so there's lots of reasons that I use the gemstone. Sometimes they're on the person and sometimes they're around the person on the ground.
I see.
Yeah. So it really works to enhance everything that they are cultivating.
Well, Eve, I know that I can't believe how fast the time is going. I know that you have an offer for people of a retreat that you're doing and meditations and stuff. So would you want to say a little bit about that for people who are interested to, understand what you're doing and go a little deeper with you?
Sure. Well, I am doing a Qigong and Sacred Renewal retreat at Ghost Ranch in New Mexico that starts the 2nd through the 6th of November that I'm really excited about, actually, to sort of combine being in this great place in nature that's already sacred and understood to be sacred, and to do Qigong as the mechanism for going on the exploration. So you can find out about that at evesoldinger.com.
And that's spelled Evesoldinger, Soldinger.
That's right.
.com.
That's right. And the other things are, I have regular classes here, and actually yesterday I just made arrangements for my friends in Arizona to be coming to Tubac, Arizona at the end of January, beginning of February, to do a few classes down there. And that'll be exciting because it'll be great to see my friends out in Arizona.
So for people who want to get more information about these opportunities, they should just connect with your website, and that'll help
lead
them to your email.
Right. Okay. And there's free at Bandcamp. There's free meditations that I did way back when on each of the elements, which I love. I love the elements. Mm-hmm. I'm a 5-element acupuncturist, so that's available for just as a download.
Great, and that's also on your website.
I think it is. If not, you can go to bandcamp.com and put Eve Soldinger, and you can just download it for free.
Oh, okay, that sounds good. All right, well, I'd love to open it up to some Q&A. I have other questions for you, but I want to just encourage people, if you have experience yourself with using crystals or you have questions for Eve about how she uses it either as a practitioner or as a teacher, or you have any comment that you'd like to share, please press *6 on your phone, and we will be able to unmute you. So again, *6, and you can just jump in anytime. I know that you've worked with people, we've worked at addiction centers. So have you worked with a combination of energy stones and Qigong for people who have addiction?
Yes, I have. So one of my sources for buying crystals has given me, I work in a treatment center mainly for people who wouldn't be able to pay for a 30-day resort treatment center, but are, sort of reminded to be in this 28 days. And it's a long-term treatment center, so I watch people go from being totally addicted to a year later having a job, going into a halfway house, getting support. And so I will bring a whole bunch of, and give them different stones to keep by their side. And then I'll come the next week and I'll see that they've made a necklace out of it. Huh. Or, so that they're you know, so they're using it. Or I'll make a, you know, a special day, like the first day of spring or something. I'll make a crystal circle and do the Qigong around it. And, you know, this is, if I were them, I would think I was the weirdest person who ever lived. But, you know, I'm willing to be that person if it brings in an energy that a few of the people receive. And so, you know, believe me, I hear a little few words every now and again of how strange I might be.
What would you say, I don't know if you can even articulate this, but a question that popped into my mind is, you know, let's say you do a certain Qigong form or a certain Qigong series, let's say you're working with an element or something like that. What would be the difference between doing it just, say, outdoors in nature or in a place that you feel really, you know, where you feel like you have the opening to Qi field, and then putting crystals around you, like you do in a class? What is the difference between doing Qigong without those crystals and with them?
That's a great question. I would have to say that there might not be any difference. And if I've chosen the crystals to work with while I'm doing the Qigong exercise, I'm not sure that I've chosen them. I'm in a relationship that I might need that energy from the crystal. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. you know, so that, you know, there's a part of me that says, yeah, nature should do it. But there's another part of me that says there's a resonance to the crystals and to the gemstones, and that they're actually speaking to me and giving me healing if they're saying, do your Qigong, but bring us with you.
So what would you say then it is? Do you feel like when you have the two together that there's a synergy that enhances your experience, or would you say that it's just like kind of, I mean, I'm trying to really grok it because I haven't really spent time doing Qigong with crystals. I've done some work with crystals, but I haven't ever really done what you're talking about. So I'm just trying to really get a feel for, because I know this is something that's very exciting and inspiring to you, and that you've been doing it not just in addiction centers and classes, but you also do it with children in all kinds of different ways. And by the way, people, remember, please press *6 if you have a question or a comment, because we'd love to hear your voice so it's not just me and Eve speaking. So anyway, you know, so I'm just trying to get a sense of what that enhancement or that synergy is that motivates you to, say, carry stones around and take them into your classes or take them into your treatments.
I think that it's really a sacredness of the earth, so that, mm-hmm. you know, here we are going into Wuji, being connected to heaven and earth, and with that, there's like the stone I used tonight. I used the black tourmaline. It is one of the stones that is related to Wuji. So here I am teaching a beginner's class, adding a dimension push for some people who might be sensitive, but Wuji is sort of part of everything that is. It's not just something to be achieved through focus and intention, but it's all out there, and the connectedness that you're going for is a part of everything, and you're a part of everything.
So it's kind of a crystallization of what the experience and concept is, the stone itself.
Yeah.
That's
actually really the case. And, you know, how people react to the stone that they need. I'm not looking in a book to figure out what they need. I'm giving them what lights up, and then I look in the book to figure out why. I had a client last week who, you know, was going over some issues that had kept coming up, and, you know, and then I was like, I keep looking at this green calcite, which is A very healing stone at the mental level, the mental spiritual level, and the connection between things, that karmic issue that you keep repeating until you can work your way out of it and create something very different that you're living through. And we all do, I mean, we all have those issues. And, you know, you get to that point where that crystal's ready to support that person. And I learned from that. I mean, I didn't know why. I went and looked it up afterwards. And that's how I understood it. That's how I understand it, is that I can read and read and read, and it, unless I have a practical application, I don't remember.
Oh, sure.
That,
yeah,
that this is the attribute of that gemstone.
Yeah. Now, I don't have any people on the Q&A list, so I'm wanting to just check in. I have somebody who's just sent a message that she has a question. So let me just go ahead and see if I can open that question. Go ahead and ask the question, Kim. And if you're trying to press star 6 and for some reason it's not working because it's unusual not to hear from you, then what I'd like you to do is go ahead and send me an email, qitalks@nqa.org, and I'll see what I can do to unmute you myself. Or you can send me a text, 510-325-0993, because I'd love to hear your voice. In the meantime, I always have more questions, and I'm waiting for a question to come in from Kim, who's her phone is starting to die, so she said that she's gonna she has a question to ask you. You work with kids. Tell me how the stones work with children. Is there something, you know, that's extra special about having stones working when you're working with chi practices with kids?
The great thing about doing stones with children is that you don't have to do very much. Mm-hmm. And that is, show them the stones. And they will pick, 9 times out of 10, something that roots them. You know, that they all pick, like, really first, second chakra stones, things that root, you know. And, and kids, you know, if you're around children who are 9 to 15, you know, they are just popping out of their young energy. They are just exhausting, you know, and you know, how much energy they have and how it goes. And you show them these stones, and, you see them looking at, well, why don't you pick that one up? You know, and then you see them, like, quiet down. And, you know, sometimes a teenager will say, it's just too much. It's too much settling, which is just great, too. I mean, I love that as well.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's fantastic. Or, you know, every once in a while, a kid will pick, like, some very spiritual upper areas, you know, like upper chakra stone, something that's related to, I don't know, Danbarite, you know, which is this thing that is totally connected to your spiritual soul journey. And that's great too. That's like, okay, that's fantastic. But 9 times out of 10, it's like, you know, let me hold this and let me, let me get grounded.
Intuitive. Right. Okay, so let me go ahead and unmute Kimberly Ivy, if I can.
Oh, good. Yeah. Hi. Thanks.
Hi.
Yeah, my poor phone is dying. Eve, thanks. This is really extremely interesting. I'm taken with kind of the feeling that this is actually, this working with crystals, especially in addition to Qigong, it's something that's actually really hard to put words onto. It strikes me that it's just such an incredibly intuitive intuitive experience. It plugs into deep nature, kind of these things that really, especially in the society that we have now, we don't really have a lot of good words for. And I'm curious about two things. One is, it seems like this type of crystal earth mystery sacred based medicine has, of course, as we know, been around for a very, very long time. And I'm wondering how you see the emergence or perhaps reemergence of using crystals to kind of enhance this connection that we have with this, you know, tens and thousands of years old connection with nature. How do you see the present moment giving rise to, at least in your life anyway, this kind of this motivation to use crystals to enhance your intuitive work? And how do you see it now connected to the more ancient times? Like, what's happening that you see this going on?
That's a really beautiful question. You know, and I want to make really a big distinction is that you can take several years of crystal healing with Judy Hall and with Jeffrey Ewan and with, I imagine that the woman who wrote this large book, Stone Medicine, Leslie Frank, she probably can take classes with her. And it's intuitive, but it's very intellectual too. And, you know, if you have a mind like that, that sort of is you have your own private computer that's on top of your senses, you know, as well, you can do it from that place. I think that the difference for me isn't only that I've always been really intuitive. It's that I've always been looking for what will open people's hearts, what will move the society forward, and, you know, like, how do we hold everyone's healing in the highest possible elevation? Oops, that's something noisy thing. So highest possible elevation that they can get to. Like, how do we change consciousness? Mm-hmm. And I sort of feel like the stones are more alive for people now than they used to be. And I don't know why that is, but I can tell from working with people that it's very different. When I started 10 years ago using stones, yes, my brother really responded, but my brother was really ill. And, you know, and I knew him better than I know most people. It just happens. I knew him all my life. But you know, I think that for a lot of people, they aren't as connected to the planet anymore. You know, like, they've mm-hmm. checked out in so many ways. And this is like some avenue back in.
I love that.
Wonderful.
So, Eve, I have somebody here who wants to speak. Here you are. I hope you can. You're unmuted. Hi.
Hi. Eve, I just want to thank you so much for talking about this topic. I was so excited when I saw it because I have always, I love stones, and I, like you, have, and I will intuitively feel what they do for me, and then I'll read about them later. I think they're so amazing. And I appreciate your giving us permission to play and experiment, because I've had some Qigong, a particular teacher, say to me, oh, you should just stick with the Qigong. You don't need all that stuff. And I think to myself, but it's so fun, and the stones make it so easy to be grounded. But my question mm-hmm. is, I've heard some people say that the way that the stones are mined is a painful process, and that the stones maybe are not even hold on to the resonance of the pain of being ripped out of Mother Earth's belly, kind of thing. But I, like you, I've had the experience that it just feels like they want to help us.
So I have a really interesting experience with that, which is, I don't experience the pain so much, but I will say that the more raw the stone, the more healing resonance it seems to have. So
yeah.
Initially I was getting all these tumbled, polished stones.
Yeah.
And now, you know,
I've noticed the same thing.
The more raw it is, the more it seems to be able to go from person to person. And, you know, you have to do all these things to wash and to put them in the new moon and the full moon and under a green leaf. You know, like you have to look up all these things of how they have to be cleansed and have to be taken care of. But, you know, and then there's like things that happen, like, you know, like they'll tell me which stones I need. And then I'm like looking around to buy that stone, you know, and it's not always a very common one. And I think, well, I'm getting this because it fixes, you know, something going on between my organs. And then I'll get it. And I recently had some nerve tinglings in my hand, and I went to an osteopath, and it looks like it was from an accident a few months ago. And, you know, it's not a big deal. It's very minor. And I'm getting a little treatment from him, and he seems really on it. But then I got this stone yesterday, and I held it, and all these little pinpricks went away. And I was like, okay, I can do this. I can sort of listen to strong, energetic direction and say, I don't know why I'm getting this, but this is what I need, and then be surprised. Like, I'm surprised every day to find out what works for people.
And the more you practice Qigong, the more you feel the energy of everything. So I
exactly
just, intuitively, it's not hard. You just pick it. You're just near
but what
it
is being,
and you feel it.
What is being in Wuji, but being connected to everything?
Right.
And nothing at the same time. I mean, you know, what are we doing this for, really? But to raise the vibration of everything that we do.
Right. And they provide incredible grounding. I have an obsidian stone, and I'm embarrassed to admit this, but it's true. I sleep with it because I noticed that I was waking up and I would feel anxious, and if I sleep with the obsidian, I don't wake up that way. I wake up feeling much clearer.
Okay, we have one more question coming in. We're running a little bit over time, so let me go ahead and say thank you so much for your comments. And
thank you.
Go ahead and yes, and unmute Sergio. Okay, are you there, Sergio?
Yeah, Sergio.
Okay.
Hi, Eve. I heard from you for coming in. It's nice to hear your talk. And my question is, I know that as a medical Qigong practitioner, crystals resonate and can be used to facilitate from mental to physical. What do you believe, what spectrum do you believe crystals tend to resolve issues more? Like you mentioned kids have, they want to move more so they get in their body, but as for adults, what do you see in your practice and clients?
You're breaking up quite a lot. Sergio, I don't know if, Eve, did we be able to get his question?
I think he's asking which crystals seem to, which gemstones do I see that seem to work the most with people? But
is that right, Sergio? Because we heard every other word, kind of. So is that correct that that's what you're asking? Is that your basic question?
Yeah, I'm interested in practice as a medical student practitioner.
Okay.
So I work with like 100+ crystals. So I'll be doing a medical Qigong treatment, and I'll get that the person's blood, liver is having problems, and I'll decide to use bloodstone with my new favorite lapidolite, and maybe the person has a lot of rage, and so I'll use halolite. So I'll look at what's going on energetically as I do my assessment and start either working from an organ level or working from a chakra level with the stones. So it's not, it's actually with the assessment that I start to use the stone. So it's with the treatment that I decide. So sometimes I'll do the whole Qigong treatment, whole Qigong protocol, and then the stones start happening, and I'll start putting stones on or moving energy like through the meridians with a stone, like a pointed crystal. I have a few crystals from John of God, so I might use those. I also have, you know, I have a lot of different stones to use for those types of things. Crystals.
Okay, well, that gives us a little bit of a taste. Thank you, Sergio, for your question.
Thank you.
So I want to take just a quick moment to talk a little bit about the National Qigong Association, which is the, you know, the community that we are and what we do in the world, especially because there are people here new to our organization or who are new to Qi Talks. The NQA is an important resource for Qigong and includes a lot of different branches of activity. Qi Talks is just one of them. And if you're not already on our email list, please do join it so that you can receive Qi tips, which includes research about, you know, recent research about Qigong and the impact of it, information about upcoming Qi Talks, late-breaking information, announcements about upcoming conferences, all kinds of stuff coming in. So do join our email list to get more information. And basically what I can say about the NQA is that it's a community that comes from a very diverse lineages, philosophies, levels of experience and expertise. And given that Qigong, the word Qigong is itself an umbrella term for a very wide range of Qi practice, the NQA as an organization doesn't really endorse one specific ideology as being the only way, but rather what it does is it kind of creates a network of different individuals and schools who love Qi practice and want to have, you know, I would say a deep desire to share these arts with as many people as possible. So whether you are yourself, any of you listeners are long-term practitioners or professionals, or you're somebody who's just interested in learning more about energy and how it works, I'd like to invite you to consider becoming a member of our organization if you're not one already. And because you're here on Qi Talks tonight, I can give you a little bit of a special offer about it. Becoming a member is a great way to become part of a growing community of people who want to change or want to take charge, really, of their health and their well-being. It's a great way, like I said before, to gain access to information and resources. For example, with Qi Talks, you would have not just be able to listen to this call, but if you become a member, you have access to an archive of recordings. I think this is our 48th or 49th Qi Talks, so there's a lot of different members with a lot of different information that you can listen to on the website. And like, I think it's a very impressive list of what I think of as Qi thought leaders. You can hear calls from people, leading thinkers, like, you know, there's so many of them. I can't list them all, but for example, Solala Taller speaking about the Tao Te Ching, Chengliang Al Huang talking about slowing down in a fast world, Chris Bugian on how to use Qigong principles for people with PTSD. He's done a lot of work with veterans. Linda Larkey, who's done a lot of scientific research on the benefits of Qigong. Carrie Sherman on working with kids in Qigong. Eric Embody working with seniors in Qigong. Bill Douglas about the World Tai Chi Qigong Day, which, by the way, is the date for our next conference. Annie Roberts on the importance of centering. Ken Cohen on Taoist meditation. A lot of popular teachers, including Roger Yonka, Mark Johnson, Kimberly Ivey, Bill Douglas, Daisy Lee. If you're a member and if you've missed any of these almost 50 teleclasses, please do check out the treasure trove. I think you'll be delighted to see some of the topics, like I said, very wide range, very diverse amount of topics, all coming under that sort of the shared love of what working with our Qi does. If you're currently yourself a professional member of the NQA, or if you decide you want to join at that level, I would like to invite you to apply to be a Qi Talks presenter yourself. It's a great way to let people know more about what you do and share the Qi. Members of the NQA also receive a discount for our National Conference. Next one is happening April 27th to the 29th in Asheville, North Carolina. You can go to our website today to learn more about the conference, or if you want to apply as a presenter or a vendor, love to see you there in April. The bottom line is, whether you're a long-term practitioner or you're brand new to the Qi Arts, we'd love to welcome you to our community. So here's that special discount that I mentioned. There's three levels of membership. There's general, practitioner, and professional. And the general member fee is $45. Practitioners are $100. Professionals, $150. But to thank you for joining us live this evening, we do want to offer you a special $10 discount on any level, no matter which level you choose. And that offer is good for the next 24 hours. In order to get it, you need to email us at info@nqa.org or call Allie at the home office. You can get that phone number just by logging on to the NQA website, nqa.org website, and get the phone number there rather than me read it to you right now. But be ready to give not just your name as somebody who participated in this call, but also the phone number, because some of your names haven't come up here on my queue, so we need to be able to know that you were actually here in order to be eligible for this offer. It's only really eligible to people who are live on this call. So, Eve, do you have any – that's basically all I wanted to say. I just want to encourage you to be a member. I've met some of the most amazing people being part of this organization, and I get to talk to people like Eve and connect with you. So please think about joining if you're not already a member, or renewing if you already are a member. So, Eve,
I used to listen to these talks all the time without joining, and it's a great organization. It's a great organization, and I went to the conference that was in August, I think. No, was it in
yes,
August?
Yes, it was in June in Newark. Yes,
in Newark. Okay, so I went to Newark, and it was a great conference, and it's a really worthwhile organization to belong to, and I think that everyone should join.
Oh, thank you for that plug, Eve. I love hearing that. Thank you so much. I so agree with you. So I'd love to know, do you have any concluding remarks or any sort of final words that you want people to know? This has been such a rich conversation, and you clearly are so grounded in the work that you do. But is there anything you want people to think about or know as we conclude?
It was really interesting. I think that one of the things that struck me was the woman, was it Kim, the second woman who asked the question? Mm-hmm. I can't remember her name. But I think that people use stones, they know to use stones for grounding, but it's also an apparatus, a method of going to a higher level of consciousness. And one thing we didn't talk about was using stones to meditate with. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's so many stones that have like the upper Dantian kind of energy that allows for increased consciousness and love and opening and love that I don't want to miss the opportunity to mention that.
I think that's so important, and I know that this is a rich topic. We could probably spend another hour just talking about that. So thank you for bringing it in. So I'd like to thank everybody for joining us for this round of Qi Talks. We will be back next month on Thursday, November 9th, and it'll be a different type of Qi Talks this time. Kimberly Ivey, who was on a little earlier, who's a founder and chief instructor of Embrace the Moon Tai Chi Chuan and Qigong School in Seattle, will be on. And if you follow either Kim or me on Facebook or Twitter or any other social media, you know that this past August and September, Kim and I almost simultaneously had the challenging and rich opportunities of being present for our own mothers during their dying processes. So I did a series of videos during my mom's dying days, and Kim has written some exquisite stories and descriptions of her experience. So when I invited her to be the next guest on Qi Talk, she came up with the idea of using the topic training for death,
which we then decided also included training for life's big transitions. And when we started discussing this idea, we decided it might be an interesting experiment to move out of the interviewer-interviewee format that we usually have and talk about how each of us found our Qigong practices were an integral part of how we were able to show up for each other, each of our mothers and for ourselves during this primal experience. Kim has been training in the martial arts and internal arts for 40 years and holds several black belt rankings, multiple certifications, is a Hall of Fame recipient from the Association of Women Martial Arts Instructors. I can say a lot about her experience. She's a vastly deep practitioner, and she's also a wonderful blogger and writer. I also was inducted into that same Hall of Fame, and I have over 40 years of experience in martial arts of Tai Chi Chuan, Aikido, Kajukenbo, Kung Fu, and Qigong, and I've developed an integrative system on my years of Qi practice that I call the Way of Joy that I've taught at universities, workshops across the country, and in my own school, and currently in a virtual community, which is the Way of Joy Women's Community, which works with cultivating empowered sustainability for women leaders, visionaries, and change makers. So the two of us are going to be having this conversation, and we're going to invite you, the listeners, to join us in this conversation about big life transitions and how Qi practice has helped us in these kind of very, like I said, very primal experiences. So it is an experimental Qi Talks next time, and I do hope you'll join us. It'll be really fun to hear from you as well. So be sure to mark your calendars for November 9th and join us. And again, let me thank you, Yi, for this very rich conversation. And until next time, be well, everybody, and let the Qi flow. Bye-bye.
Session is over.
So, Vicki, I just wanted to say thank you.
I'm going to give you a call right now, Eve.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Trying to establish a point
on the cell phone.
But how do you know what call?
I know what it is. I know what it is because I called it. I was listening in the house, and then I just continued it in the car because this car just picks it up. So I could listen to stuff like that.
Does it cost anything?
Yeah, it's a conference call, free conference call. She starts coming through and backing into me.
Like that.